October.
Yes,
October
it is.
October on Ghostly Talk. I love October.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a ball.
One of my favorite months of the year.
It's been cold, though, all month. This week sucked.
Well, it wasn't so bad horrible. Last night. We got home.
No,
last
it,
night
well, it was cold night. When we got there.
Right.
But when we left, it was warm.
Right.
It made no sense at all.
It was the opposite of what it should have been.
No, it was like 60 degrees out, which is pretty mild for Michigan.
Oh, yeah.
And today it was somewhat cool today. I opened the whole house up, opened all the windows up just to air everything out, and it was somewhat cool, but it felt good. But the whole month, like this whole week was like dreary. Completely.
Well, that's how it usually is, I think, in October.
But this whole week, consistently, it was rainy and dreary the whole week.
Well,
especially on the weekends.
It had made up for it. Yeah, the weekends were pretty bad. But it made up for it because, like, at the beginning of the season, or the beginning of the summer, I should say, it didn't rain for a long time. And then all of a sudden, boom.
We got rain down pretty bad for a while, though, during the summer.
During the summer. But at the beginning, it was like nothing. I'm thinking, there ain't going to be no flowers this year. But there were eventually. You guys, this is Ghostly Talk. I'm Doug.
I'm Scott L.
I'm Will.
Oh, hi, Will.
Hi, Will.
I hear you in the stream.
Hi, Will.
Yeah. I have a new mic thanks to Money Shot, Scott K.
Awesome.
Whatever you want to call him.
Change your nickname, please. Judging by the pre-show stuff, change your nickname, please. We're done with that nickname. We have to stop. Your name is Scott K. permanently.
Scott
now.
K. from now on.
From now on. I can't. No.
Dude, Ghostly Talk airs live, of course, on Sunday nights from 7 p.m. till 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Yep.
And am I congested? I sound different today.
You said you got a headache.
I do have a headache. But anyway, so we air live 7 p.m. till 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Pioneer Radio Network. That's pioneer.rolo, R-O-L-O.net. Our website, of course, is www.ghostlytalk.com.
Yeah.
And it's getting, like, just oodles and oodles of hits for some reason. I'm really
happy
about
that. It's been a good month. It's been a good year, but it's been a real good month.
So far, I think we beat last month, which last month was our highest visitor count all time ever.
Yeah.
And this month is
we beat it already, I believe.
Yeah.
So thank you, people. Thank you.
I don't know why, but maybe people are listening. I think it's awesome.
It's October.
It is October, yes.
The ultimate play of naiveness right there. It's October, Doug.
Is it? Wait, I started the show saying that. I knew that at one point. Well, also this month, of course, the premiere edition of the in-print magazine called Ghost Mag, Ghost... Exclamation point.
Guys on the show a couple weeks ago.
And ghostmag.com, of course. Mm-hmm. So that came out, of course. Ghost Hunters on Sci-Fi Channel, Proof Positive on Sci-Fi Channel.
Mm-hmm.
The upcoming release at the end of the month of Ghostish Files,
mm-hmm.
the first ever show of Ghostish Files.
Mm-hmm.
So there's all these cool things happening this month. And plus, we're talking to Ghost Hunters all month.
All month long.
Except for last week. That didn't work out very well, but we ended up talking to Ghost Hunters anyway.
Yeah.
On the phone.
I haven't even had a chance to... I archived that show. I haven't even had a chance to listen to it yet.
Oh, we had a blast.
I mean, I cut it up and threw it up, tore it apart, threw it up on the web. But I haven't had a chance to listen to it. But from what I understand, wow.
Well, we had a blast. We talked about... Havoc called in.
Mm-hmm.
And Phobos called in. We got to talk about the air car, which is something that doesn't fit in with the theme this month. So I was, kind of actually glad... that we did have that chance to talk about the air car. And so we talked about that. We talked to Kyle from Windsor, of course.
Yeah.
Windsor Ghost Hunters.
He's coming down next weekend, isn't he?
I hope so. I got to email them directions. Yeah. John emailed me and said, what's the directions?
That kid is in so much trouble when he gets here.
I didn't email him back.
he'll be 21 when he gets here.
Yeah, well, he's coming. Okay, I'm gonna make an announcement on the show here, because we have to, okay? Next weekend, for our local listeners here, like around where the Haunted Basement is, next weekend at Pub 1281 in Mount Clemens, Michigan, we're having a big costume party. The MFPS, the band's having a big costume party. But on site also will be most likely all you guys are going to be there.
Everybody will be there.
We'll all be there.
The whole crew from Drunken Dialing is going to be there.
Oh my gosh.
And MFPS, well, actually, probably going to be me because I'm the only person that takes the initiative, will be actually DJing the show the whole night. We're going to be DJing the whole night. On top of that, it's Bonnie, our GT support hoe.
Mm-hmm.
It's her birthday that night. And on top of that, it's my little sister, Erica L., who has been on some of our promos and stuff here on the show over the last couple of years. It's her 21st birthday that night, too.
Woohoo!
So, next Saturday, if you got them going on, I know it's Halloween weekend, I'm sure people have plans. Screw them. Come on and hang out with us.
Forget protecting the city of Detroit. Just come out and hang out.
Yeah, let them burn down. It's far away from us. We won't have to worry about it. Don't worry. No stray bullet's going to make it to Mount Clemens. Trust
right,
me. No
right.
problem at all. It's going to be a really good time, though, because we're all going to be there.
Right. That's what East Point is for. That's the buffer.
That's where we rehearse at.
Yeah.
Great. Right,
the buffer between
Detroit. Come
over
and find a rehearsal room just in a smoking pile of rubble.
You know? I hope not.
So that's going to be a really big thing next weekend. We're all going to be hanging out. I mean, it's going to be a party, but if you got to come out and hang out with us, I mean, ghostly talk people, everybody's going to be there. Come on out. We'll talk. We'll hang out. You know, we'll do all kinds of fun stuff. Plus, you can see my band make fools of ourselves because we're all going to be dressed up that night, too, trying to play a show. Which,
woohoo!
Yeah, then, I don't know what's going to happen with that yet. We haven't decided on the costume.
What are you going as? Oh, you don't know yet?
Don't know yet.
Okay.
We were
going
to try to dress up as a black metal band, like get all the, like you know, like
no
bullet
way.
Belts and, like all the face paint.
That could be very expensive, though.
Yeah, that's why I'm trying to low budget. So I'm probably just going to end up back at my mom's house stealing one of her dresses, you know,
uh-huh,
and just throw
uh-huh.
that thing on there and some nylons. And
that'll be hot.
Okay.
You've seen it before, haven't you?
I don't think so.
You've never seen the
I'm so bringing my camera.
You've never seen the default Scott L. costume for Halloween?
No.
If I can't get creative, I just usually go get a dress for my mom's house.
Do you then, you do wash it later and...
Well, yeah, it's
that,
usually
yeah.
covered with alcohol.
Yeah.
And other
things.
Bodily
yeah.
fluids, but I have to say for you ladies out there, dresses are very comfortable. I think that's why I wear shorts all the time. Because they're... Okay, now... Scratch that bit. Okay, we're moving on.
Are we gonna edit a piece of it?
They're really comfortable. Have you ever worn nylons before?
No.
Dude, they are nice. I mean,
yeah.
They're really...
I don't know.
I get my hair caught in them. It sucks.
Oh.
They're really cool.
Bad,
I mean, you know, they talk about they're really cool.
Yeah.
They feel good.
Okay.
I don't want any part of this bit whatsoever.
Are there persons they like massage your legs as you walk?
Well, if you have really hairy legs like I do,
yeah.
I mean, they feel good. I don't know if it's like, I mean, I didn't actually shave my legs to put these things on. I mean, I left the hair there.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really comfortable.
How Madonna
is it erotic for you?
What?
Is it erotic for you?
No, it wasn't.
Hey, this is beginning to sound like the pre-show.
It was comfortable. We went out to the other side of the state last night.
No.
Last night.
Last night?
Last night.
Okay.
We went out to Canton.
Yeah. That's not the other side of the state. It's the other side of the city.
Felt like it.
Well, yeah, it was a long way, but we had fun.
We'll explain this a little bit more, because you were the guy that kind of did all the book work on this and whatnot.
Well, back in February or March of this year, I got a phone call, and it was from this woman who works for a church. She's like the youth group minister, however that works out, and she was saying that she wanted us to take her group out on a ghost hunt. Now I'm thinking, okay, Catholic youth group minister.
Well, that made me nervous.
I'm like, I went to Catholic school for 9 years. Typically, they don't do that sort of thing.
Well, I'm really glad that they kept open minds.
Oh yeah, it was wonderful.
I was nervous going there. I was really nervous going there, and you guys all knew that. Once we got in there, I mean, people were very cool.
Oh yeah.
You know, I mean, I thought they were gonna be like, you know, oh, there's the ghost hunters. And
well, they were inquisitive.
Yeah.
They
well,
asked
one of the girls,
all kinds
one
of
the girls
questions.
There, I forgot her name. She wants to do this for a living someday, which I had to inform her of that you really can't make a living doing this.
Yeah, that's kind of difficult.
But she's young, and hey, she might be the person to make a living doing this. You never know.
Well, who knows? Maybe projects like Ghostly Talk, Ghost Magazine,
uh-huh.
Ghostish Files, W Paranormal,
uh-huh.
All of these things that are happening. Oh, Ghost Hunters on Sci-Fi,
yeah.
Positive. Maybe all of these kinds, and of course, John Edward with his show Crossing Over or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, all of these things are making their way into mainstream society. I'm hoping that people will start opening their minds to this stuff.
Well, people are.
And eventually you'll be able to actually do this,
mm.
You know, okay, you know, you're in our parapsychology lab, you know,
yeah.
or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, exactly.
That would be really, really cool. That's what I'm hoping for. Like, I'm thinking more like 10, 20 years down the line.
Yeah.
But
when we're
but,
old and gray and we can't
yeah,
move around and do anything for ourselves anymore.
Right. We'll be on those, what are those little chairs that they sell on late night TV, those roundabouts or whatever, or move about. I don't
know.
I know
what you're talking
little
about.
Little chairs on late night TV, and
they have wheels on them, right?
Yeah,
oh,
and
thank God,
and they're like motorized.
Okay.
So, oh, but
free speed.
My rascal. They call it a rascal.
Rascal.
Yeah.
On and the Barber of Seville. Somebody will get that one. Somebody will. Not many. No. So we went out to Canton last weekend. I mean, last night, and we visited this group of kids.
Right.
And they were a church youth group. And
we went to two cemeteries.
Two cemeteries with these kids. I mean, it was a pretty. They were both pretty short visits. I mean, for a typical investigation for something like that, we usually spend about three times the amount of time.
We did 15 minutes. 15 each, minutes. So we're talking, you know,
in and out,
times
pretty much. You went to the end of the place, you walked back, you were done. But it was really cool to go out with these kids. A lot of these kids didn't really know what it was all about, and a lot of them, like most people do, who've never had any contact with this sort of thing, they think it's going to be. You know, like the movies.
Oh, yeah, the movies, or the they come
and
out.
And in fact, there was a couple little girls that I, you know, they were like, well, we need somebody to walk. I'm like, come with me. You know, we'll walk together and I'll show you guys how things are done. And they were scared. They were genuinely scared about walking through a cemetery at nighttime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I can understand that. These are young kids. They're like 14, 15 years old. And they were genuinely scared. These girls didn't even want to look behind their, you know, behind themselves. You know, and the of course, the flashlights were going. I'm like, point the flashlight at the ground. That's where you need to have the flashlight. And they're like, hey, look at everything. And they're just like hitting people in the face, and putting them in windows of houses and at cars and stuff. I'm like, put it on the ground. You know, and of course, I mean,
hey, look at that.
Point. You want to see what's on the ground. You don't want to step on anything down there. But one thing that hang of that was very cool. I mean,
I found that not very many of them brought flashlights, which I thought was kind of counterintuitive.
I gave three out. So
yeah.
I don't bring one anymore though. Period. And once I get out there, my eyes start to focus a little bit, and I can actually see in front of myself where I'm not going to step on. As far as a cemetery is concerned, when you're walking through a house or something like that, it's dark, you need a flashlight.
Yeah.
You could hurt yourself. But a cemetery is pretty wide open. You just have to look down the ground.
You're going to trip over one.
What's that?
Now that you just said it, you're going to trip over one.
Yeah. I'm going to get up here in a little while and just knock the whole table over, probably.
Been done. Yeah. Done that.
Can't beat you out.
Yeah.
But once they got the hang of that, they were really, like you said, inquisitive. They were shooting pictures. And when we brought them back, and one little girl actually went as far as to put them on the computer that was there.
Right.
And start looking at them. And she's like, well, what's that? And, you know, okay. This is their first shot.
It was raining, and most of them were rain.
There was one
interesting anomaly on one of her photos that I couldn't explain. It wasn't rain. It wasn't...
Well, there's another one, too, after you walked out of the room.
Yeah.
And this was actually weird. Bonnie even said it was weird.
Yeah.
The girl took a picture of the back of a tombstone.
Okay.
But she was, pointing down at it, sort of. Because, of course, she was taller than the tombstone.
Right.
So she shot down at it. So what you have in the picture is this tombstone. Like, you can see the top of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's sloping down.
Right.
And she saw something strange in there, you know, as I showed them. They didn't have any real hardcore graphic software on there, so I just brought up MS Paint and said, okay, just invert it and see if you can see anything weird. And she actually was doing that. She learned how to do this real quick and was, going back and forth with all these photos. And she picked up something that really kind of caught me off guard, too. If somebody out there listening to this show, email us. If you're in the chat room or whatnot, let us know. It looked like... Like, if you take a flashlight and you point it at a wall, you're going to have that center part of the circle, which is the actual bulb. And then you're going to have the outer layer of it, which is the mirroring behind it, which casts out the light, right? On the back of this tombstone, there was a circle like that. The thing that was weird about it, though, is that, you know, I'm thinking, well, maybe it was something on the tombstone, like a circle or something like that. But what happens, like I said, is that it was sloping down on an angle.
Mm-hmm.
And this circle was very two-dimensional. It was two-dimensionalized, and it was just a circle on top of this thing with the center part and then, this outer rim kind of thing.
Okay.
Kept blowing up. It distorted a little bit, but it still stayed pretty much circular. And it was very, very, very faint. I mean, I don't even know. Well, these kids, they're young, and they have really good eyes still, thank goodness. She picked it up, and I actually had to look for a second to see it. And it was something, like I said, all it was this circle, and it was very, very faint. I don't know what it was. Excuse me, but the little girl said she's going to actually email it to us and let us look at it some more.
Cool.
So that was one of the... We picked that up, you know, but these kids went out there, though. It was cool, and that was the most surprising thing is that they were Catholics. It made me a bit nervous, but after a while, I got very comfortable. It was cool.
It's very rare in the Catholic tradition to investigate this kind of stuff.
On a serious level.
But there are, indeed... Catholic priests who specialize in paranormal things.
Yeah.
Part of the Jesuit folks.
Yeah.
And they They do the, yeah, the Catholic religion was, you know, the exorcisms are done by Catholic priests.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah.
So you're talking, you know.
It was real refreshing, though. It really was.
Yeah, it was really, really, really refreshing.
We have to speak to these kids.
They
too.
Were inquisitive. That's what really got me. I was like, yeah. I thought maybe they were like, oh, it's another one of them outings we got
to
go on.
Well, I thought we were just going to get poked at for half an hour when we were talking to these kids, you know, standing up there, and they actually had.
Good question.
One of the best questions.
Oh no! What are you? What?
Have you ever been scared?
That was a tough question.
I'm like, well, not anymore. You know, I mean, that's what we told them. Like, if you get scared, you get scared. Acknowledge that. Don't run away because you're scared. Go, hey, you know, I'm scared, but I'm gonna try to work through this kind of thing. And that's one thing that AD said that actually makes sense. That's one of the things he said that actually I've taken with me is that you can learn from fear.
Yeah,
and it's very, very, very true. In the last couple of years, I've kind of lived by that. The things I'm afraid of, I just jump into them now. And these kids did the same thing last night. I'm real proud of them, and I'm sure a couple of them are listening tonight. You know, kudos to you guys because you did something that a lot of people wouldn't do.
Right.
A lot of people wouldn't even think, wouldn't even fathom the idea about walking through a cemetery, especially at this time of year, in the dark.
Right.
With only maybe a couple people around them. It's a very important thing for them to do. And if they never go again. That's fine. They did it. And it isn't everybody's cup of tea, and that's understandable. Some people are. I know a couple of kids were like, "Well, I expected more." I'm like, "Well, first lesson you just learned right there is this can be very boring at times."
I told them that right at the beginning.
Well, I don't know what the parents expected from us.
If they
expected us to go in there and go, you know, we were all going to be wearing our Indiana Jones hats with our last shoes on our sidearm going, you know, well, yeah, this is it. We're going to be swinging from trees tonight, playing Tarzan. We're going to be battling the ghosts. We're going to have swords out and stuff like that. I mean, that's why I was kind of like, well, sometimes this can be quite boring. It can be quite a monotonous thing to do on a Saturday night when you could be out, you know, shaking your booty somewhere. But we still do it because we love to do it.
Right.
You know.
One of the kids asked me that question, you know, why didn't we see anything tonight? And I'm like, well, we also had 15, 20 people in the cemetery.
That was
right.
And, you know, it'd be different if we were in a cemetery that was much, much larger than the ones that we went to.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you know, the ideal group is basically 3 to 5 people.
Right.
And you don't really want to go with one or two. I mean, you can go with two. Don't go by yourself. But it's best in 3 to 5.
Well, that was really interesting too, because it turns out the rules of the youth group itself is you never go, no matter where you are, a museum, wherever they take the kids, a water park, wherever they go, always they have to go in groups of at least two.
The buddy system.
They always have to have
a buddy system,
right?
I thank you for doing that.
Which is amazing, because that rule coincides with a rule of ghost hunting where you just don't do it alone. Because you need that other person as a witness.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you, you know, I saw it and so did, you know, Bob or...
I suggest going by yourself to a few places just to kind of break yourself in. I've done that a few times, and I've actually done things that, you know, that, like we talked about, that
right.
By Mansfield. That, I mean, I'm...
Well, there's nothing wrong... Well, yeah, but you were recording.
I was recording,
You were recording. You had equipment with you that could capture what you saw
or
heard.
But the other side of that, though, too, is training also. Just
right.
Knocking down the senses. I mean, I can still get the heebie-jeebies like anybody does. And
but
I'm trying to, like, totally numb myself of all that.
If something materializes in front of you and reaches out to you or whatever, and you were alone, unless you had recording equipment or a buddy...
You can hear, all you'd hear is me screaming like a little girl.
Yeah, it may as well not...
This is what happened right here, guys. Listen, we're... That's where it happened. I saw it right there. Well, no kidding, eh?
Oh, you think something happened, that's for sure. But,
no, I congratulate those
But
people.
You have to have that extra cool. person. And also, the one of the rules that we said a prayer before both cemeteries. And it was really actually cool because the youth group leader, she is the one who led it. And it worked out really, really well because that's yet another rule of ghost hunting.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you always want protection and things from above, you know, from things
you can't see
and touch
or anything.
Yeah, so you need that faith. You need the grounding.
They were good to us though. They fed us. Yeah.
Yeah.
They fed us real well.
Oh, my absolute favorite, the chocolate ice cream. That was
You know what, I haven't had bananas with ice cream in at least a decade and a half. And you know how good that was? I don't think I've had a banana in a decade. But I mean, they were really. It was like, you want cream? Like whipped cream? No. You want chocolate? No. You want caramel? No. You want sprinkles? No. You know, I'm like, just give me the ice cream. That's all I want. And it had bananas in them. Oh, wow, that's pretty good. No wonder banana split's so popular. This is really
right.
good.
This is actually good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, they were very hospitable. We were really. We thank them for making us feel so comfortable at home. And it was a great time. These kids learned a lot.
I hope so.
We showed them a lot of evidence. Marilyn was there.
Yeah.
And she, this lady.
Wait, is she from Ghost Watchers, or is that Cindy's group?
She's in another one, but I can't think of the name of it off the top of my head.
Okay.
But she works very closely with Cindy on a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she brought out her books, though.
Oh. Yeah. She had her evidence there. She carries one around in her wallet.
Yeah, she showed us that. I'm like, what is
just amazing photos.
I mean, she really put. I mean, she's preserving her evidence
and
along with capturing it.
Here's a lady that does. Now, this is really interesting because it's the opposite of what we do. She does most of her ghost hunting during the day.
Mm-hmm.
And she's got really compelling evidence. Just amazingly compelling evidence.
Well, she really follows up hardcore, too.
And she talks to everybody connected with the site that she investigates. I mean, she's, like, very, very thorough.
Yeah, but what I mean by following is afterwards, follow up after. If she finds a picture that she found anomalous, she will try to reproduce it. I've tried doing this with audio. I've never really tried doing it with pictures before. But she tries to reproduce it, you know, tries shooting the same shot. She likes to go out there and measure it out and try to get as close as she can, the angle she shot at, where she was at when she shot the picture, and put whatever it was there, you know, and she'll put a person there and just try to have them reproduce the angle or whatever this thing was standing on or what it was doing or whatever. And she showed us all these pictures lined up together, along with the original shot that she took.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, that kind of work.
She does a lot of work to verify these things.
A lot of time. A lot of time, a lot of effort, and I commend her for that. It was very, very interesting to look at this stuff that she brought out for us. All together, it was great. We had a ball. And we ended up going off the Van Born Road, too. Was I supposed to say it out loud?
That's fine. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, we're not given the location, and there's not really anything there in the first place. We went to Van Born after that. We left the house, and we decided to shoot off the Van Born Road and just hang out there for a little while. Nothing really wild happened.
A lot of laughter for some
reason. A lot of laughter. I'm still blind from Bonnie's flash. I'm still seeing that purple thing.
But the story is there's a creepy couple of Bens, and somebody or other that Will knows had a...
I don't actually know him. I saw it on a website that no longer exists.
Oh, okay. And he had taken a photo, and in the trees there's like somebody peeking out from one of the trees, and he's wearing like a...
It has like a cross.
Like a crusader.
Yeah, like a crusader type outfit.
So we went there and we hung out for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then I
whined out and wanted to go home. Go ahead and say it, Doug.
Well, you kind of wimped out a bit. But
I was tired. I needed some alone time.
Hey, if you didn't look... The only thing I can say...
Hey, Whitley Strieber was on Coast to Coast last night, all right?
Yeah.
And I love... I don't know if you guys heard about the news about Whitley Strieber.
No.
His wife... I don't know all the news, but his wife had an aneurysm. She had a real... Something bad with her brain.
Oh, man.
I didn't get to hear all the details, but this happened actually, if I'm correct. Last week, Whitley was on Coast to Coast, and he all of a sudden, in the middle of the conversation, said, "I gotta go. Bye." And he hung up on Art. And Art was like, you know, what's going on? So he spent the whole week trying to find out what was up. Of course, those two are real good friends.
Well, they're friends, yeah. They've co-authored books together.
And when you guys took off, I actually hopped in the car and went out to get something to eat. And I listened to Coast to Coast. And Whitley was... I found one.
Oh, that's right.
I found
what
one
was
that was
open,
by the way. I found a restaurant that was open.
Okay.
We had fun.
Yeah. Will was evil. That was great. But no, I sat and listened to... Whitley came back out and was talking about his wife.
Wow.
And he's been just going through hell all week long. His wife is in bad shape, but she's doing better now. So I send our thoughts out to Whitley Strieber.
Yeah.
I mean, I absolutely adore the man.
All my hopes for her health and prayers.
Hopefully she gets well soon, because we're big fans of Whitley Strieber. UnknownCountry.com. If you've never been there, check it out. Very cool website. He's got a radio show too.
Well, when he was on the actual radio, yeah. I listened every single Friday night.
You can download his shows though too. You can download ours.
Well, yeah, you've got an MP3 player in your car, your new ride. I don't, but I do have like that little MP3 player, so I could download the shows to that.
Yeah.
And listen to them wherever
Download ours at work though too.
Right.
UnknownCountry.com. It's a great website. Very, very, very good show. We just wish Whitley and his wife Anne the best. Hopefully she gets well soon.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening to Coast to Coast last night for a brief time on my drive home from your house, Doug. And one of the things they were talking about, or that Art was talking about, was that this our son. It's acting very, very strangely for the past few weeks.
Yeah, I heard that too.
And I forget what the actual term was.
There's no sunspots on it right now.
Yeah, none.
At all.
Wow.
It was. I forget what the term was. It was something minimum. Remember what it was?
I don't remember. I was probably somewhere else when that was. I mean, I was listening, but I picked that up just like you did. But I know what Art was talking about. He said that there are no sunspots right now on our sun.
Shortwave radios are really messed up. AM radios are messed up.
Yeah, a lot of people that carry Coast to Coast, they can't even broadcast right now.
Wow.
Yeah. And Art says it's because of the sun and the solar rays are shorting out certain frequencies, so to say. I don't know all the technical specs on it right now, but that was one big thing he talked about last night, along with Whitley talking about that. The Eldridge Beast.
There's an Aldridge Beast? Wow, I've been totally out of
the name. Go to, you know, if you go to Unknown Country, it's right on the front page.
You know what's interesting? Because lately I've been reading. This is what I've been doing. I listen occasionally to Coast to Coast and all them things. But
yeah.
But I've been reading a lot lately. Ghost stories.
Oh.
I've been reading ghost stories. Not on the internet, but in books. And
those paper things that open up?
Yeah, those paper things. Those old-fashioned things with the covers and stuff. And
we still get those in the mail here too, and we're like,
"Well, you know who sent us these books? This was California. The lady, who is she?
Deb.
Deborah. Deborah had sent a package with these books, some of her favorite books.
Yeah.
And Bonnie latched onto a couple. I latched onto a couple. Well, I had read mine right away, and then Bonnie and I traded some, and now I'm reading, you know, the second round, and I'm like, "Oh my gosh, these books are fascinating." And that's what I've been doing. I've been reading books, and
nothing
so I,
wrong with that.
Yeah,
especially this time of year too, just to keep your.
Oh yeah, it's really fun. the full moon, like, comes
show
to
today,
the,
okay?
And you're like,
I was commenting to Will last night about how I was kind of feeling to watch House of a Thousand Corpses. I don't know why.
Yeah,
the Rob Zombie film, and I was too lazy to walk out of the house and rent today, so I ganked my sister's copy of Creepshow a few weeks ago, and I'm like, I'm gonna watch Creepshow. Now that's like, God. 22-year-old movie now.
Yeah.
Scared the crap out of me. I had all, you know, I had all the blinds closed like they normally are, and I had candles lit up, and I had, you know, the steamer lamps going, my little steamer lamps, and I was just, you know, and if anybody that's out there has seen this film, it's pretty wild. I mean, it's pretty out there, especially the Father's Day one. The Father's Day one where he wants his cake. Have you ever seen Creepshow?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I want my cake. You dirty. You know, B-word.
Right.
Scared the crap out of me. I was like, it kind of startled me out. So that's about as much Halloween as I've done this month, actually, as far as like getting into the mood of things, if you want to say so.
Well, I've been reading ghost stories, and woo! Thank you, Deborah. Because it's been creeping me out, too.
So it's been a wild weekend. We've had a pretty good weekend here as far as coming back on the show again. I missed last week, obviously, so it's good to be back.
Welcome back. Yet.
Well, thank you, Doug. I appreciate
it. And today's a really good show to be back, too, by the way.
Yeah.
Because coming up, we have Russell from Ghoulie.
Russell White from Ghoulie. And guess what we're going to be doing the whole show?
Oh, I already know.
We're going to be talking about EVPs, because Russell White is an EVP junkie like we all
are. Awesome.
So we got a whole slew of good stuff for you guys to listen to. Take a break. Go to the bathroom. Run outside. Do your thing, whatever you got to do. Whatever you want to do, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to bring Russell on the phone.
Awesome.
Just chill back. Turn off the lights.
Relax, and we'll be
Halloween. And goes the talk.
And we'll bring you EVPs from Ghoulie.
Turn the lights out. We'll be right back.
most we talk, sticking our nose in the world's business.
What happened to your journalistic responsibility?
What do you mean journalistic responsibility? I talk about aliens for crying out loud.
Yeah? And what do you think aliens are?
Why is talking about this kind of stuff?
Aliens'
responsibility is usually holding the truth back. I'm trying to bring it back out to people, let them see these things.
There you go.
I think we got one vote on your side, Clyde.
What are you talking about?
Well, you do. A lot of people are on my side, I think.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Just when you thought it was safe to get drunk, then say hi to your friends.
Drunken Dialing.
Drunken Dialing.
Just when you thought it was safe. Make that late night booty call.
www.drunkendialing.com.
Good night. Say good night.
Hey, this is Debbie from Ghostish Files, reminding you to tune in to Ghostish Files every other Saturday on www.ghostishfiles.net.tc at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We'll see you there. Oh man, I really gotta get out of here. Later.
is Ghost Month.
Ghost Month.
Ghost Month. It's October. It's Ghost Month on Ghostly Talk.
Yes, it is.
I'm Doug.
I'm Scott L.
And, of course, Will is manning the boards right now.
Yes, he is.
Cool stuff. He's also in the chat room.
Yeah.
If you're one of the few people who aren't in the chat room, you may want to go there.
Yeah.
If you go to pioneer.rolo, R-O-L-O, .net, there's a link that says text chat. And you click on that. That lets you in the chat room, and you can chat with all the cool people in the chat rooms.
Mm-hmm.
Ghostly Talk, of course, is live on Sunday nights. If you're listening to a repeat, that's any other time.
Mm-hmm.
So
we're only on Sunday nights from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
That's when we broadcast live. So other than that, I have to say, Ghost Month is particularly exciting.
It's been exciting.
It's been exciting. We've gotten to talk to ghost hunters and things like that
mm-hmm.
Throughout the month. And this particular week, we're really, really, really excited about because
mm-hmm.
we've got Russell from Ghoulie.
Yep, Russell White.
Russell White from Ghoulie. And, I mean, I don't know how you can even introduce Russell White from Ghoulie or anybody from Ghoulie because if anyone hasn't heard of Ghoulie, you must not be familiar with Google is all.
Well, here's
all I can figure.
Here's a proper introduction.
Okay.
A couple months ago, we started getting all the chatter about Ghost Magazine.
Right.
And we've always kind of, you know, bounced back and forth with that. And I'm like, I'm going to check these guys out this morning. So I'm checking them out, and I find this really, really cool article on EVP.
Yes.
Right?
I know, because you called and you emailed and you talked my ear off about it.
Yeah,
yes,
I
remember.
This gentleman who wrote this article, who we have on the phone right now, is the guy responsible for me kind of like realigning my whole thought on electronic voice phenomena as far as capturing, collecting, analyzing. I am a total tech head when it comes to, like, you know, audio and stuff like that. So I thought the purpose of, you know, collecting AVP was to filter through it and pull all the low end out of it, pull all the high end out of it, and try to find voices within these particular pieces of audio that we collect on the weekends, right? And Russell really came out with an important point, and I know we're going to talk about it, in this article that he wrote. And it was actually, if you want to read this article, it's in the August edition of Ghost Magazine. If you go to ghostmag.com, right? Yeah, ghostmag.com.
Yep. Ghostmag.com.
It's the August edition. And it's actually, I think it's his, it's actually, we're going to confirm this too. It's the Russell's column he does on Ghost, on the web version at least, called Spirited Science. And he talks about EVPs and how he got into doing EVPs. And he basically lays it down and says it like it is as far as EVPs go. And I'm like, yeah, like you said, Doug, after I read this article, I was totally jazzed. I was totally fired up.
Well, at the time, we were going to be going to Mansfield, and we were going to be going to Gettysburg.
Yeah, we were gearing up for our trip.
We were gearing up for our trip,
yeah.
And you read this article and called, and you're like, oh, man, here's what we got to do. Here's how we got to do it. So
yeah,
you were jazzed up, totally.
Yeah, there's a lot of great points in this article. I suggest you read this article if you're getting into EVP collection or if it's something that you want to try out and see what it's like. Because this article, to me, is the foundation right now of what people should be doing as far as EVP goes. So with that, Russell, welcome to the show.
Ah, thanks, guys. Y'all are impressing me.
Wait, who are they talking about? I want to hear this guy talk.
Well, Russ, I mean, that really, I read the article. This was a few months ago. I read this article that you wrote a few months ago, and like Doug said, I mean, I was on the phone with him, like, getting him out of bed going, dude, this is, like, the greatest article I've read on this particular thing. I mean, because everything was so clear-cut, and the points you make are strong. They're very strong. And there's things that I never even thought about doing that you're doing currently right now, and you thought as far as to actually write an article about it. One of the biggest things that you pointed out was use multiple recorders. Use multiple recorders when you go into an area, you know, because if you capture something on one, you might want to cross-check it with another. And
exactly.
I thought that was like, I'm like, wow, okay, I've been doing this over 3 years now. And, I mean, as far as EVP goes, too, and I never even thought about doing that. It was like, I'm like, this is so obvious, and you pointed it out. It was like, wow. This is
but
great.
You know what? That actually sparked a bit of a debate.
It did.
It did spark a debate. For weeks, we've been talking about this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you do use two recorders. And you set them up, and you're sitting there, and ours, one of our recorders is limited to a half hour, which works out absolutely perfect, because then we can, you know, take take the recorders back, dump them onto the computer, and look at the files and,
yeah.
and listen to the files while the next half hour is being recorded.
Yeah.
So it works out perfect to do half hour sessions for us when we're in a haunted location. But what happens is, let's say you do capture something on only one of the recorders. Isn't that just as weird as if you capture something on both of the recorders that wasn't there when you were, like, an EVP?
Yeah.
I mean, what's weird when you capture something on only one versus both recorders set up in the same location?
The way we look at EVP on our team is that it's a frequency issue, okay? That's how we, you know, decide between what's a human or what was there, and then, you know, a human voice, you know, on average, only hits about 250 hertz as far as the low end.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We weed out a lot of that, you know, saying this is a human because, you know, a lot of EVP we get is low hertz level.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not sure yet as to the causation of why we don't hear it when it happens. I think it has to do a lot with, like you said, you guys said, being embedded in, you know, the wall of sound. I mean, we're not even aware of how many sounds we hear at any given time.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, my deal with the multiple recorders, you know, and a good example of it, we have a location we do quite frequently, the Stone Lion Inn. It's here in Guthrie, Oklahoma. And we had two recorders going at the time, and on the one, we heard what we could have swore was an EVP, because we didn't remember saying it, we didn't remember hearing it. It sounded like somebody says Jimmy Dean. Okay?
Okay.
Like Jimmy Dean sausage or whatever. We're like, heck is that?
Yeah.
So we're sitting there, and we keep listening to it, keep listening to it over and over. It's a real, you know, weird sound from the rest of the noise that was going on, totally out of context. Nothing to do with the conversation. Well, then we get a backup recording from one of our other members. Well, it was one of our members sneezing.
Really?
Okay.
I mean, you use multiple recorders, and, you know, and my whole theory on EVP is that it's like a particular point in space-time continuum that stuff happens. I mean, I was trying to explain it. I remember from one of my articles or a post on a board, but you know how you, like, if you're looking at a window and there's a curtain on the window and there's a hole in the curtain, there's a point of sunlight that comes through?
Yeah.
That's like a point of energy. If you stand right in front of that point, the sun hits you. If you're standing to the side of it, it doesn't.
Okay.
I think that's the way these energies operate.
So there may be imperfections in space and time, or there could be these holes, possibly.
Exactly. I mean, you go through, you know, if you look into the multiple dimension theory and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, there's phenomena called gravity leaks. On a bigger scale, they're called wormholes or black holes, where they're, you know, mathematically, there is reason to believe that you go from one dimension to another. And, you know, if that's happening, then information can pass back and forth.
Okay, so, I mean, I got a feeling we're going to get really deep into this, and I like this. I'm really geeked out.
I know, because I get pulled back all the time because I start babbling. And
no, this is cool.
No, this
is what we do on this show.
Know.
This is what we want to know. And this is really interesting because, I mean, I've thought about the same things you thought. You're obviously thinking about too, and yeah, these multiple dimensions. These. I mean, is there something? Because we try to explain this stuff to people like you do too, Russell. And well, what do you think it is? Well, okay, it could be this. It could be something from another dimension that is right around us as we speak.
Right.
But we don't know about it because we just can't perceive it the way it should be perceived, possibly.
Exactly.
There's these holes like you're talking about, possibly, which, that's a very good analogy, too. I never thought about it that way. A curtain analogy where there are little holes, and I've seen them too myself, where there's these little imperfections.
You know, probably the best analogy as far as multiple dimension theory goes, I heard, was from Lisa Randall.
Okay.
She's a PhD at Harvard, and I've had some email communication with her, you know, regarding her theory. She's one of the leading multiple dimension theorists right now, and she's actually proven that, mathematically, of course, that there is in one of these other dimensions is equal to ours in space. Okay, before this, the big deal with the multiple dimensions was called compactification. I mean, they're saying that all these other, you know, 10, 11 dimensions are the size of, you know, an atom, basically.
Okay.
Well, she's proven through her work with trying to solve the gravity problem and, you know, the hierarchical problems you have with gravity, that one of these other dimensions is at least equal to ours in space, which, you know, logically makes a lot more sense as far as, you know, people being over there moving around and stuff. But the best analogy I heard was from her, and she equated it to, like, if you have a shower curtain that's clear,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, you're standing on one side of the shower curtain, there can be bugs crawling on the other side of the shower curtain, but they're not by you. You see what I'm saying? There's stuff
yeah.
moving there, and you can kind of, every now and then, you kind of shift and you can see it.
Mm-hmm.
It's there, but you're not aware of it at all times.
Yeah, I mean, and there's going to be, even if it's a clear shower curtain, you may there's going to be other things. I think there'll be other factors involved with that too that might blur the vision, so to say. I mean, I know that. I mean, I hate to jump off, but this helps out though. People say the reason the Hubble telescope was designed and built and put into space was on the sole purpose that taking a telescope while you're standing on our beautiful planet right now and shooting it up to, and looking at the stars is like looking through a window that's covered with rain, with no windshield wipers, just
because
rain.
Because of our atmosphere.
Because of our atmosphere.
Yeah.
Same thing would apply here too. You're gonna have like you're saying, this clear shower curtain. But there could other be also be other environmental factors involved with that too. I hate to say smog, but it may apply. And yeah, every once in a while you might hit a clear spot where you see something, and that wouldn't just apply to EVP analysis. That would apply to spirit photography too. The problem with that though, what I'm seeing is, okay, our cameras are picking it up. Why won't our eyes pick it up? As far as audio goes, I've never heard an EVP with my own bare ear before. I've only heard it on recordings. And that's what we talk about, the equipment, and as far as they can record things at lower decibel levels than our ears can actually pick up, which actually explains that very well. But
I think it has to do with that, but I also think it has to do, we have a piece of our brain called the hypothalamus that acts as a governor for us, okay? If we have some kind of sensory input that we're not understanding or that doesn't make sense to what we're doing at the time,
okay,
it throws it out. We're not aware of it. Now, our subconscious picks it up, but, I mean, like, you could, I mean, you know, think about if you're at, like, we're having a conversation right now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is there cars driving by you guys?
Yeah,
sometimes.
Or do you hear the conversation? You see what I'm saying?
Right, it's what you pay attention to.
It's what you pay attention to. That's selective
exactly.
Perception.
And your brain weeds the stuff out that you don't need. So, I mean, you know, how the hell do we know that we're not seeing stuff or hearing something right now, and our brain's just not kicking it out because it doesn't make sense with what we're doing right now?
We're not even paying attention to it, period.
It's all being filtered.
Yeah.
Filtered input.
When you're focused on something, like what we're doing right now, obviously, we're focused on doing this show and discussing a subject.
Right.
Like you said, Russell.
Human ears is biologically, it's set to hear down to 20 hertz at our time of birth. Now, that's before our eardrums get used and, you know, kind of warped and been out of shape or whatever. But, I mean, you know, sure, you can hear a 20 hertz sound if you're, you know, an audiologist or whatever, and you're sitting there, you're having an ear test, a hearing check.
Yeah.
You can hear that, but, I mean, I challenge anybody to hear a 20 hertz sound in a room full of people talking, you know, the air conditioner's humming or the heater's humming, you know, TV on or radio on. You're not going to hear those sounds embedded in the background where you're listening to stuff spatially, like in a three-dimensional setting, like, you know, we're sitting here in a room listening.
Mm-hmm.
Put it on tape, you know what, it's going to get boosted because it's two-dimensional as opposed to three-dimensional.
Yeah, exactly.
Before we...
It has a lot to do with the EVP and why we don't hear it when it happens. You know, and I've actually heard EVP through headphones listening through a recorder. Because that, I mean, when you're doing that, you're hearing the way the recorder hears.
Yeah,
and
you know,
concentrating.
And
on.
You do that, Doug. You have a set of headphones
that
you put
yeah.
on while you're walking. I mean, and I've never, that would be a charge right there, if you ask me, to actually hear something like that.
Hey, you're getting up out of there going, you know, what the heck?
Right. Exactly.
I mean, it's just, I mean, I think it has a lot to do with that because, you know, we don't realize at any given time how many sounds there are around us. We have no concept of the sensory input that's going on to our brains at each moment.
Exactly, and that's very true.
There's millions of calculations per day. I mean, our brains make more calculations and assessments and everything than, you know, the biggest supercomputer in the world.
Well, people neglect to think about that, too. I mean, and it's very true, Russ, but people neglect that. I mean, one thing that I learned in driving school, which is very funny, but it applies, is my driving instructor was like, you don't realize how complex it is to operate an automobile. You are always, at all times,
making
adjustments.
Making minor
adjustments to keep that car straight.
Subconsciously.
Just to keep that car straight in between the lines. People take that for granted. Well, a lot of people in Michigan take that for granted.
Some of them don't stay between the
yeah,
lines.
Some don't care,
yeah.
Right? But that's the mind working right there. It's a direct application of what you're talking about. And people, I'm not saying they neglect that, but they just don't really think about it. They just do it.
Right. You're not thinking about, okay, I have to move the wheel a little bit nudge it to the right, nudge it to the left.
Yeah, exactly.
To keep going. Yeah, you just don't think about it. It just sort of happens.
Yeah.
Same thing with the filtering mechanism. It all this input's coming at ya, and ya, it gets filtered out to the things that you have to pay attention to.
Mm-hmm.
I have first of all, before we get into, because there is a question that I have, but before we get to that, I want to know a little bit more about Ghoulie itself.
They, I mean, we're based out of Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Tanya Hacker is actually the founder of Ghoulie. She's been doing this for about 5 years. I contacted her. I'm a student in psychology. I'm trying to get a physician's assistant school, hopefully here within about the next year. I was working on an experiment with one of my psychology projects, and I contacted the ghost, you know, hunting groups here in the city because I, at the time, I was a big skeptic. I still am very skeptical.
Probably. Yeah, you talk about this in your article, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and I just totally did not, you know, I was wanting to study the difference between how people that think ghosts exist are wired as compared to people that at the time, like me, you know, that didn't believe in it at all. And I went with her to a building, and I contacted her, like I said, and, you know, we set up a deal and went out, and we're kind of doing a scouting and investigation. And I kind of wanted to work, you know, with them and see what they do and all this stuff so I'd know, you know, how to base my project. And I was sitting there, and I had a, you know, recorder, and was walking around, and was kind of just taping stuff. And I got this EVP.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I linked up on Ghost Mag, and you know, at the time it was just me and her in this big three-story, you know, abandoned building built in 1910, I believe, out in the middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's no way anybody else could be around to have made this voice. And you know, I mean, if you listen to it, it's very obvious it's not a radio transmission or a cell phone transmission, even.
Oh, we're gonna listen to it. Believe me, we have that one too. And we're gonna play that if you don't mind.
But she, you know, Tanya. I mean, as far as the EVP and the you know, the point of, you know, the theory that we come from, I have to say I learned from her.
Mm-hmm.
She knows what she's talking about and everything with it, and, you know, the theory of that, it, you know, it's a frequency deal. You know, a lot of people think it's sound wave or, you know, it's, you know, everybody has their own thoughts on it, but the stuff she says is very logical and very, you know, makes sense to me. And coming from a scientific standpoint, I mean, you know, you've all heard keep it simple, stupid.
Oh, yeah.
That's the basis of science. I mean, it's called Occam's razor. It's a theory that, you know, if there's two different theories and one of them simpler, you go with the simpler one.
Of course. Of course.
And that's where she comes from. I mean, she you know, doesn't have the education background that I have, you know, in, you know, the physics classes and the chemistry classes and, you know, all mm-hmm. this stuff. But she is a logical. And that's what logic and science was founded upon. I mean, I tell people all the time that, you know, science is a piece of paper and a pencil. That's yeah. what science is.
And one of the greatest things I've heard from ghost hunters, some of the smartest stuff I've heard was based on that principle right there. Keep it simple, okay? Some of the most experienced ghost hunters I've ever met say that their number one tools they use are their camera and nothing but divining rods. That's all they use. They don't use anything else. No thermographical readers, no radiation, electronical dividers or whatever's going on. They don't have a mainframe computer with them. They just have a set of dividing rods and their camera.
Right. I mean, because you have no idea what you're measuring.
Mm-hmm.
People, I mean, I'm not down in tech people. I think it can be used appropriately, but we don't even know what this stuff is.
Exactly.
I mean, so how do we know that because there's a temperature fluctuation in this, you know, four-story, 50-year-old building that has no power in it, how do we know that's a ghost? I mean, we don't.
Mm-hmm.
Theoretically, I understand the reasoning behind saying that a temperature drop is because, you know, they're sucking energy out of the available atmosphere or whatever,
mm-hmm.
but that's not been proven yet. I mean, what we need to prove, you know, the ghost hunting community needs to first off start with a point, and it's something very simple, and, you know, I've heard this from skeptics, you know, all along the way, that, I mean, you take something simple. You don't try to prove the existence of ghosts, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's like our team and some other teams that we're associated with are working on some cognitive trials. And what we're studying is, I mean, everybody that ghost hunts or has ever been spooked experiences some biological feelings. You know, you get the goosebumps, you get chills,
mm-hmm.
you know, the hair sticks up or whatever. You know, that's what we're studying. That's something very simple. We're looking at it right now. We take people into locations. We measure, you know, who feels what against who. We send them, use like teams of two.
Mm-hmm.
Measure the team, you know, like team one against each other. We measure team one against team two, three, four, five, six. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody against each other, the teams against each other. Well, nobody communicates during these. We send them up like we had a hotel here in Oklahoma City that we did that was 13 floors.
Mm-hmm.
Find everybody a floor. Said, okay, now everybody switch and go to floor below you or the floor above you, you know. We gave them all places to go and then had them keep a journal of what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
If they felt creeped out, if they felt cold, if they felt like somebody's watching them, if they felt scared, if they got sick to their stomach, any kind of biological response to the environmental factors around them.
Okay, and now with your background in psychology, that's an interesting way to look at it too. I mean, you guys are basically what you're saying too, and I agree. I live by this: is you take baby steps. You try to take it. Everybody's goal, obviously, is to prove the existence of the afterlife. That's the huge goal we're talking about. That's the biggest thing. But I agree.
But we haven't even designed the appropriate test for that yet.
Exactly. You need to break it down.
There's no test and there's no equipment to measure that at this point.
Yeah, you take it in baby steps, like what you're doing, Russell. What your group is doing. You guys are.
And then you prove, okay, this stuff happens.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you go back in with your equipment, say.
Okay.
Then you go on like teams of three, have somebody running, you know, like a temperature meter or an electromagnetic meter. Well, if you can, you know, coordinate getting an abnormal reading with this person feeling this, then you can prove that it's not their imagination. You see what I'm saying? Kind of external stimuli causing their feelings at that time.
Okay, great. And that's, I mean, I'm glad to hear somebody say that. Really glad to hear somebody put that into words and phrase that where it's understandable. Some people are out there, and that's where you find the problems. I'm not knocking anybody that wants to believe, that really, really, really wants to believe that there are ghosts and there's the afterlife. That's wonderful. But you have to approach it from a logical standpoint. You can't just go, I really want to believe. Because I tell people this all the time. For some reason, the last few weeks I've been telling it a lot more. Well, if you want to see ghosts, I will show you ghosts. You will see ghosts, I guarantee you. I will get you so freaked out and scared.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you'll see all kinds of wild stuff. I guarantee you will.
Honey did a deal. She has a niece that's a senior this year, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And when she was a freshman, she started this high school, and she's active in theater and drama and all this stuff. Well, Tony had gone to one of her things at the high school,
mm-hmm.
freshman, and she's sitting there, and, you know, she's a big deal in the mass hysteria and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And, well, she started a rumor with Tony. She's like, hey, Tony, you know, tell some of your friends this theater that we're at's haunted. Well, it's been 4 years now, and there are people that talk all the time about how haunted this theater is. Nobody ever said anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's how easy it is.
And, you know, and there's a girl in Chicago, Ursula Bielski, and she has a website, and she's an avid paranormal person. She has, you know, haunted tours and all this stuff. Her whole theory that she's working on is based that we create these hauntings ourselves from our energy. And, you know, if you know anything about the holographic model of the universe, which is basically says that, you know, we all imprint energy on our surroundings, okay?
Okay.
Where you get a lot of the residual hauntings and, you know, all that stuff. That's where that stuff makes sense, you know, and psi phenomena and, you know, psychic abilities, all that stuff. But, I mean, she actually thinks, because she was telling me, and I was at a conference, I spoke at a conference here in Tulsa a while back that Pitt Paranormal Investigations team at Tulsa put on.
Mm-hmm.
And she was down. She's one of the guest speakers also. And I was talking to her one night, you know, after everything was over. And that's what she actually thinks. She thinks that we, like, create, you know, you hear all these urban legends and all this stuff. She thinks that we create these hauntings and stuff ourselves from our energy. We imprint our energy in our surroundings, you know, like at this location, thinking it's haunted, and we see stuff. Somebody that's never heard of us or never talked to us comes along, they see the same stuff. How do you explain that?
Well, and that's really interesting. Now, what you're saying is that we imprint these energies on the surroundings or whatnot, so, let's just say a residual haunting will occur. Couldn't it go both ways, though, whereas in let's say, okay, the woman walks across the cemetery on November every year.
November 21st.
Okay,
yeah.
I'll just say for an example, right? Could it have been the event itself that people talk about been the thing that imprinted itself? And we see that. Or are you referring to the people being so freaked out and mass hysteria, like you're saying, people being so freaked out by the story of this whatever legend there is
that
they're projecting it, they're making it happen? I mean,
it sounds like Ursula's
saying their
energy.
It's something I'd like to test because I'd like to take a lead, and it'd be a several-year thing, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Make a deal, start some stories like Tanya did. I mean, you know, those kids, you know, are scared, you know. And her own niece, the one that helped her spread the story, has sat there and said, I've seen things in there now. You know
really?
What I mean? So, I mean, when you, that's part of the whole cognition deal. I mean, when you boil it down, if she's seeing things, you know, if anybody should not see things, it's her. Because she knows that it was something that they just kind of, a rumor they started.
Okay.
You know, an urban legend. She shouldn't be seeing things because she knows it's not true. But, and she's not excitable. I mean, she's very mature, you mm-hmm. know, together, and she knows we do this stuff. And she's like, you know, I'm seeing stuff there now. What goes? I've seen somebody walk across the stage. You know, I've heard stuff when nobody else is there.
And
you know what I mean?
Wow.
You know, that's what I'm trying to look at is that our imagination, you know, what is reality? You know, you get into that whole discussion, you know, which we could talk about for days.
Oh, metaphysics are fun.
You guys, let's take a quick break.
Yeah, let's take a quick break, Russell. Okay?
There's actually a couple things I want to bring up after the break.
Okay.
Like the Philip experiment and things like that. Mm-hmm. But before we get to that, and EVPs.
Oh, yeah.
From Ghoulie, we're going to take this just fastest break on the planet, I hope. And then we'll be right back and we'll talk about...
Yeah, yeah.
More with Russell White.
This is a lot more than I expected it was going to be, which I'm very happy.
Oh, me too.
We'll be right back.